Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra Daf Nun. We will begin on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We've been discussing a husband and a wife achieving a chazakah in a property. And the Gemara, as we had discussed in the previous shir, taught us that the fact that a husband is on a wife's property for 3 years does not create a chazaka. Her raya, but ask the Gemara, if the husband is able to bring witnesses or a shtar that he bought a property from his wife, then the halacha, the Gemara is suggesting, is that we would have a chazaka. Ask the Gemara, Tema, why? Why would that be acceptable? Why should we not say Nachas Ruach Chasis Labali, that the wife could claim that the only reason I agreed to the sale is not because I was prepared to sell this property? This is a Gemara that, even though we've learned that Teluya V'Zovin Zvini Zivin, that even if you sell something under duress, Rav Huna has been teaching us the sale is a sale, but explained to Rishonim, that's not in a husband and a wife situation, where the wife says, I really didn't have a choice but to sell this to my husband, because that's what he was demanding of me. And he says, we learned this in a Mishnah Masechta Gittin, Miloy Tanan. The Mishnah Masechta Gittin teaches us, Lokach, if somebody bought a piece of property that is mortgaged to a wife's ksuba, Menish, first he bought the piece of property from the husband, and then he bought that property from the wife to make sure that she is agreeable to the sale. Mechabato, the halacha is that it's not considered a valid sale. And if the husband were to die or divorce her, she has a right to collect the ksuba from that asset, and not she has a right to collect the ksuba from that asset, and the buyer will not be able to say, well, you agreed to have this asset sold to me. So the Rishonim point out, when the Gemara says here that the Mishnah says, Masechta Gittin, that the sale is considered void, the halach is that, of course, as long as the husband is alive, there's no reason for the sale to be voided. What the Mishnah over there means to say is, if the husband's going to die, or divorce her, and then at that point she's entitled to a ksuba, the halacha is that that obligation that is on this field remains, and the buyer can't say, well, you sold it to me and you walked away from it. That's the way the Rashbam and our Gemara learns Pshat in that Mishnah. Rashi, however, over there disagrees. And Rashi says that the sale is completely null and void, that the husband has a right to say to the buyer that the sale is not a valid sale because I sold you something that I had no right to sell, since it's meshubed, since it's obligated to my wife, since this property was obligated to the wife, that's why I have no right. What I sold you, I had no right to sell. The Rishonim ask a question. We learned in our previous year that if somebody is selling something under duress, the halacha is that if somebody is selling something under duress, the halacha teaches us that the person who is unhappy should make a meidah. So the question here is, why don't we ask this wife in this Gemara as well to make a meidah and say that she never want that this is being done under duress? So the Rishonim respond that the concept that we're learning in our Gemara really answers that question. Because as we're discussing in our Gemara, we are here with a situation where the wife feels pressure to do it. And the wife is obviously concerned that she doesn't want to do something that will upset her husband. Including in that thinking is not being is not to make a Maidah, because making a Maidah she recognizes will bother her husband. And because she recognizes it will bother her husband, that's why she's not going to do it. The Gemara Masechta Gittin has what will be the halacha if the property that we're discussing was an apoteki. As we often discuss in our shiurim, the definition of an apoteki is apotekoi. It means something that the husband identified where she's going to collect from. Says, in such a case, the sale would not be valid under any circumstances, because under such a circumstance, we say that she only did it nachas ruach asisi labali. Ask the Rashbam, even if that's true, that why, as we're learning, don't we say teluya v'zoven v'zoven? So says the Rashbam that the only time we say that svara, only if there's real pressure. If the wife is doing it, as we learned earlier, only because she doesn't want her husband to get upset with her, so then we can't say the svara of teluya v'zoven v'zoven. So ask the Ramban, if he says that's a legitimate feeling. The feeling that a wife has that she wants to make her husband happy is a legitimate feeling. So if it's a legitimate feeling, asked the Ramban, so that should make the sale a valid sale. So Ramban says that the sale indeed is valid. He says, but we're learning now that the sale is not valid. He has a whole new approach. And his approach is that we're referring here to a situation where she wasn't paid. And since she wasn't paid, so then we don't say Teluya v'zoven zvina zoven. When do we say Teluya v'zoven zvina zoven? Explains the Ramban. That was the shear that we learned a few days ago. That's only in a situation where the person who sells the property, albeit not happily, is getting paid. But in a situation where they're not getting paid, we don't say Teluya v'zoven zoven. Davni Meluim says that the Peshat and the Gemara are somewhat differently. He says the Gemara means to say that since there's an assumption that the woman consented to the sale because she wanted to continue to show him bias, not to upset her husband, so she didn't mean that the sale should be valid forever. She only meant that the sale should be valid as long as they're married to keep the harmony in the home. So that's exactly what we learned, says Davni Meluim. So as long as they're married, he didn't divorce her, or he didn't, chas v'shalom, die, so then the sale is a valid sale. But if he should pass away, then the sale is not a valid sale because, explains Davni Meluim, there's no shown bias that she's trying to accomplish. Alma, but back to our Gemara, we see that a wife could say, Amra, she has the ability to say, Nachas Ruach Asis Labali, I'm doing a sale just because I wanted to keep the shalom bias. Hachinami, so ask the Gemara, why when she sells Nichsi Maluk to her husband, shouldn't we say that the entire sale was just Nachas Ruach Asis Labali to make my husband happy? Answers the Gemara, Hetmala, and learning that Gemara, learning that Mishnah, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Leinitzucha, the way to learn that Mishnah, says the Gemara, is Ela Ba'osin Shalosh Shodos. We're only referring to three types of properties that are mentioned in that Gemara. Achas Shekoslo B'Ksubasa. If he wrote a property into the Ksuba, that's the property from where she'll be able to collect her Ksuba. Or one that he verbally designated that she's going to be able to collect the ksuba from there. And the third is that she bought a property into the marriage when they got married from her family. And that property was written into the ksuba. And the husband took upon himself that he's going to be responsible for the value of that ksuba, of that property. That type of property is called Nechsei Tzoyin Barzo. The halach is that since this is a property that she's so attached to, it's a property that she brought into the marriage from a family. So that's why there's a special halacha by these properties. There's a special halacha by these properties that she doesn't want to sell them. Ask the Gemara, Lamutimai. So ask the Gemara, what is Rabbi Rav Huna coming to teach us that only by these three properties was this halacha said? That we're trying to eliminate all the other properties that her husband has, that in those properties, that if she gives up the mortgage that she has on those properties, she can't say nachas rechlebali, that she can't say that she only agreed to the sale because she wanted to make her husband happy. Says the Gemara, that line of reasoning doesn't work. Why? Because koshkei de havalei eva, by those types of property, he will certainly be upset. Damala, if the husband's going to say, well, you don't want to let me sell it, obviously, why don't you want to sell it? Because enecho, nosata begrisha b'mesa. You're assuming that I'm going to be dying soon, chas v'shalom, or you're assuming that I'm going to divorce you, and that's why you're concerned that the property should still be here for me to be able to have where to pay you from. So if there's a concern that our Gemara is teaching us in today's shir of nachas ruach hasis labali, that a wife is only agreeing to something because she wants to keep her husband happy, so says the Gemara, that should certainly be the case in the properties that are not mortgaged or she doesn't have an attachment to. And any time she's going to protest, the husband's not going to be happy. Ella, says the Gemara, nuchsim elug. By nuchsim elug, a woman can't say nachas ruach hasis labalim because they belong to her, and she could therefore easily say, I don't want them to be sold. And therefore, in such a case, if they were sold where the husband sold it and then the wife sold it, the sale will be considered a valid sale, and she can't say nachas ruach asis labali because it's not his. Buy something that's his, that's mortgaged to him, that's one thing. But here, it's not something which is mortgaged to him, and therefore, since it's not something something that owned by him, so it's a whole different situation. The Gemara here has been teaching us the concept of nachas ruach hasis labali. And the underlying point of nachas ruach hasis labali is that, as we said a few moments ago, quoting Davni Nezer, it really evolves around shalom bayis. So the Chashuk Echemed has an interesting discussion. He tries to understand how far do we take the concept of shalom bayis. And he discusses a situation if a husband, Rachman Tzlan, is imprisoned. Is a wife allowed to participate in simchas? Is a wife allowed to do different of social activities? That one, for example, we know what halacha is, that if a close relative is sitting shiva, so even the relatives, the husband, if a wife is sitting shiva, vice versa, is not supposed to attend simchas. This husband is suffering, he's in a bad place. He said, what would be the halacha for his wife? He said that, so he suggests that that's part of the relationship of a husband and a wife. And included in the relationship of a husband and a wife is that she cares about him. And then when he's suffering, she's suffering. And therefore, he suggests that maybe she should not attend the wedding. Al Gemara introduced the concept of a necho nesata begerishin ubemisa, that there always has to be concern, there's an underlying concern under certain circumstances that a husband is concerned that his wife has ulterior motive. So Chashuki Chemed discusses a situation where there's a couple who are married. It's a second marriage, and the husband, unfortunately, has gotten very ill. He has Alzheimer's, and he needs proper medical attention. And the wife, his second wife, says that I have a background in being able to take care of patients. And therefore, she says that I know how to take care of my husband. The children from the first marriage don't agree. And the children from the first marriage want to bring other people, want to bring doctors, their own doctors, to evaluate and help care for this patient. So of course, a wife under normal circumstances should say that this is my responsibility to take care of my husband. And therefore, I should have the right to make these decisions and nobody else could interfere. But so he says that based on the Gemara that we just learned, that there is a concept in Halacha of a necho nesata begerishin, that really maybe we want to get divorced. So then the Halacha is that the children are right. Along the same line, there's a father of a son who's a generous man, a wealthy man, and he's buying an apartment, a house, for his son. And he only wants the house to be written, should be registered on the son's name. It's his money that he's spending for his son. And then if the house will be written, will be sold as property of both of them, if Chas V'Shalom, something should happen to the marriage, she's a 50% owner of this property. Says the Chashuki Chemed, that, and the son, of course, doesn't want that. So he says that the son, the father is right. He says that, first of all, it's his money. So it's his money. He has a right to make a determination how his money should be spent. Then he continues to say, besides that it's his money, that he has a right to choose how it should be spent, he says, but the son wants to spend the money, wants to show that respect to his wife. So he says that the son has a chiv deraisa of kibraveim that has to be taken into consideration. He says that the son has a chiv of hakaras hatoiv. His parents are buying him this house, and if that's what they want, he has to show hakaras hatoiv. And then he adds the consideration that we just learned in our Gemara. Because our Gemara just learned that there is always a concern of Shema Nosnaina Begerishin Remisa, that maybe this wife has indeed considered getting divorced. And therefore, since there's always that possibility, he has a right to say, I don't want this property on her name. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Ha'am Amema. But asking Amema, didn't a Mema teach us? If a husband and a wife sell Nechsim Alog, so why are we saying that if a husband could bring a raya that they bought the Nechsim Alog, it's not going to be accepted? Answers the Gemara. When was a Mema said, Halacha said, where a husband sold the Nechsim Alog, and he passed away. Asya I umafka. So she has a right to take back that property from the people. She has a right to take back the property from those people. And the question is, what about the money that was received? Does that have to be returned to the Lekuchas? Inami, Zovni I, if she sold the property, umesa, and then she died. So as we've been learning, when a woman dies, her husband is a Yairish, So she had no right to sell that property because that property really belongs to him now. Osiyu mafik, the halacha is that he will be able to go to the person who bought the property from her and retrieve it, but the kanta de rabbanon. And says the Gemara, where do we learn this? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Dar Rabbi Chanina, Beusha, when the Sanhedrin was an Usha, Eskinu, that Isha Machar Benichsi Malog, if a wife sells off Nichsi Malog while her husband is alive, or Mesa, and then she passes away, Habal Moitz Miyad Al-Kuchas, the halacha is that the husband has a right to go back and take that property from the Kuchas. Says the Gemara, Aval Hecha, if there's going to be a circumstance that the Zavnu Tavayu La'alma, that if they both sold the property to somebody else, he sold the Paris to which he has the right to on the property, and she sold the actual property, Inami Zavnu Ila the day, or she, the wife, sold the property to the husband, the Loch will be Zvina Zvini. And she can't say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali, because you don't say, as we said a few moments ago, we don't say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali in a situation where the husband understands that this is her property and he doesn't have a right to demand from her that she should sell him his property. We learned the Gemara that if the wife were to sell off this property, when does the sale become null and void? It becomes null and void when if she were to pre-decease her husband. However, there are Rishonim that suggest that since he has this right to the property, that if she dies, he is his Yairish. So there's some Rishonim that want to suggest that she can never, that the sale becomes null and void immediately. Says the Gemara, V'boi Seima, another way of answering the question, that a Maimer who said it's not a valid sale, a Maimer Omek Rebbe Elazar, a Maimer is going to be following the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. And the Gemara says, where do we have it? The Tanya, Hamoiches Avdoi, if somebody sells an Eved, or Pasuk Imoi, but the agreement between the seller and the buyer of this Eved was Shishim Shenu Shloshim Yoim, that he's still going to work for the original owner for another 30 days. So now, the way to understand this Gemara is that there's two parts of this ownership. There's the Kinyan Aguf, there's somebody that actually owns the Eved himself, and there's a Kinyan HaPeiris. Kinyan HaPeiris means who gets the rights of the Eved. And what the Gemara is teaching us here, the question here is, who is considered the owner of the Eved? Is the one that has the Kinyan Aguf, or the one that has the Kinyan HaPeiris? So again, Reb Mei Omer HaRishin Yishna B'den Yom Yomayim. There's a special din that the Torah teaches us in Parashas Mishpatim, that if somebody hits his Eved Kanani and he dies, the halacha is that he goes out. If somebody hits his Eved Kanani and kills him, the halacha is, if he survives, then the owner, if he survives for 24 hours, the owner will not be subject to death. But if not, he will be subject to death. And the reason it's called Yom Yomayim is because it has to be 24 hours. So the question is, who does this halacha speak to when you have, as we just described, one person has a Kenyan Aguf and one person has a Kenyan Paris? So the opinion there is, that Rameh's opinion is, the one that uses that, has the rights of the Eved's work, has the halacha of Yom Yomayim. The Sheni, who's only the owner, but doesn't have any benefit from him yet, ain't but din Yom Yomayim. He's not using him. Kasover, obviously Rameh's opinion is, Kinyan Paris, the one that has the Kinyan HaPeiris, is Kinyan HaGuftami. And therefore, since the first owner, as we explained, had that right, that still has that right, he's considered the owner. The Torah in Parashas Noach, after the Mabel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Noach, V'ata kach l'cha mikom machol, v'hoyu l'cha v'lehem l'ochlam. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yeruchim Diskin asks a question. The pasuk here is saying that Vayulacha, you noyach for lahem, and the animals lachla, that they'll eat first. But we know that the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, teaches us, the pasuk says, we say it every day, a number of times, v'nasati esel behemtecha v'chalta v'savata, that we first serve our animals, and then ourselves. So why does the pasuk say, l'cha olahem? So he says that, when is there a halacha that one has to feed his animals before he feeds himself? That's only when the animals, you have a kinyan aguf in the animals. But he says, before Noach came out of the Teva, he was not allowed to eat meat. That means he didn't have dalocha, he did not have a kinyan aguf in the peiris, in the animals. When you don't have a kinyan aguf in the animals, he suggests there's no halacha of nesati esel behemtecha, that first you have to v'chalta v'savata. There's no din that you have to serve your animals first, and therefore noach v'cha lahem lachla. Rabbi Yudaimer, but back to this question: who is considered the real owner of the animal? Rabbi Yudaimer, Hasheni yesh to b'din yom yomayim. It's the second, but the person who has the kinyan aguf. Neshukaspoy, it's his property. And if you look in the pasuk, he says, the pasuk says, lo yokum ki kaspahu, harishin, but the one who has only a kinyan peiris, ain't a b'din yom yomayim, because ain't a kaspah, it's not considered his property. Kesover, obviously, it is his opinion, the kinyan peiris, lavka kinyan aguftami, that if I only have kinyan peiris, I'm not considered the real owner. Rabbi Yossi has a third opinion. He says, Yishneim yeshna b'din yom yomayim. They both are considered owners. Zem neishu tachtov. The one that has the kinyan aguf, because it's his. Zem neishu kaspoy. And the other one, zeishu tachtov, has a kinyan peiris. Zem neishu kaspoy, because he has a kinyan aguf. And now says the Gemara, and Rabbi Yossi is not quite certain. I kinyan peiris ki kinyan aguf tami. Who is considered truly the owner? Is the one that has the kinyan peiris? Ilavki kinyan aguf tami. And therefore, there's a rule, sofik nefashis lahakel. And the Rashbam says over here, why do we say sofik nefashis lahakel? Because the Torah says, the Torah speaks about the situation of somebody who goes to Bezdin, and the pasuk says, v'tziloi ho'eda. The Torah says that we always have to try to be v'tzil v'edu, sofk nefashis lahakol, and therefore we're v'shaft eid v'tzil v'edu. Says Tosfos, why does the Rashbam have to say that the reason we take this approach is because sofk nefashis lahakol, based on the pasuk v'tzil v'edu. He says that if we know, and we often say this concept in Shas, there's a concept of suffolk of a moitzim chaver ol varaya. I can't make you pay me unless I could really prove that you owe me the money. So we see that even when it comes to monetary issues, we can't force something, we have to be certain. Certainly when it comes to a case like here, where there's a question, should we kill the person or not kill the person, and we don't know what to do, we certainly can't kill this owner. So why does the Rashbam have to find this pasuk of the shafta eid v'tzilu eidu? So Rabbi Chanan answers that we know that when we follow the concept of a sofik nefashis lahakel, so explains Rabbi Chanan, what does that mean? It means that we don't know what to do. He says, we were to follow Tosfos' concept, it means because we don't know what to do, we're going to take the approach that we're not killing somebody unless we know for certain that that's what he deserves. What the Rashbam is trying to tell us, that the pasuk of a shafto eda, v'tzila eda, is telling us something much deeper. That it's not a suffix. That when there's this question, who is the owner, since there's a rule, b'kol ha'tayra kula, suffix nefashis lahakel, then b'tayris vadai, we don't kill, we don't kill that owner. We don't kill either of them because we don't know who the real owner is. The Brisk Rav has a different approach. The Brisk Rav says, what's going to be the halacha if somebody has two avodim kananim, and one he has a kinyan aguf, and one he has a kinyan peiris, and he hit both of these avodim, and they both died, So now the halacha is like this. If we're going to follow the concept of Sof Nefashos L'Hakol, he's certainly Chayiv Misa, because he's not the owner of one of them. We just don't know which one is the one that he's not the owner of. But he's not the owner of one of them. But since, says the Brisk Rav, the Rashbam taught us that the halacha is that V'shafta Eidu V'tzilo Eidu, that we always follow the concept of Sofik Nefashos L'Hakol, the halacha is that we don't kill either. Rabbi Chanan, however, has another approach. Rabbi Chanan says, what was Taisus Kasha? Taisus Kasha was from the concept of Amotzi Mechavera Olav Araya. Says Rabbi Chanan that the concept of Amotzi Mechavera Olav Araya is only in a civil case. He says, what is the basis for the concept of Amotzi Mechavera Olav Araya? He says, because what that really teaches us is that whoever's holding on to this is a muchzik. And if you want to take something out from the muchzik, you have to be able to prove so. But he says, that's in a case of ben adam l'chaveroi. Two people are in a dispute over an object, so we don't know how to deal with such a situation. So we have a concept, we have a halacha of a mitzvah v'chavera olav araya. But when we speak about a case where somebody murdered somebody else, as we're speaking here, so then this is a situation of ben adam l'makom. When we're speaking about ben adam l'makom, there is no concept of somebody is a muchzik, and there is no concept of a mitzvah v'chavera olav araya. And that's why, says Rabbi Chanan, that the Rashbam had to find the pasuk of a shafto edu v'tzilu edu, that's why and only why Sofek Nefashos L'Hakol, we don't kill either of them. Asks the Cheshek Shloima, asks the Kotzker Rebbe, why did the Torah give the special halacha by Eved Kanani of Yom Yomayim? If we're going to say that the owner is exempt because this is his Eved, so what's the difference when he died? So he answers that the halacha is that Hamafka Avdoi, the Gemara Masech, the Gittin says, that somebody makes his Eved Hefke Yoytzel Cheres. So if he hit him in such a way that means he was Mafke him. And therefore, the halacha is that he's a free man. And he's not his Eved. But if he didn't hit him in such a serious way, the Kotzke said, so then he's not considered his Eved anymore. And since he's not considered his Eved anymore, that's why the halacha is different. Rabbi Lazar, the fourth opinion in this question, when you have two people whose ownership in an Eved, one has a kinyan peiros, one has a guf, Rabbi Lazar, I'm a shneim ein b'din yom yomayim, neither have halacha of yom yomayim. Zel fisher tachtof. This one because he doesn't have kinyan peiros. The zel fisher haguf. This one doesn't have kinyan haguf. Vamer Rava. My Tamid Rabbi Lezer. Why is Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that neither are considered the owner of this eved. Damakra lo yakum ki kaspehu. So from here we say that kaspei hamiyuchad loy. It has to be something that's completely his. And therefore, since it's considered completely his, then the halacha is neither as considered the owner. And therefore, says a maimer, that's why a sale of nichsi melug, as we began the sugya, isn't valid. Because a nichsi melug, says the Gemara, in understanding a maimer's opinion based on what Rabbi Lazar just taught us, is really the property of neither of them. Because since the husband has a kinyan peiros and the wife has a kinyan aguf, so therefore neither is considered the true owner. And since neither is considered a true owner, the sale of such a property would not be considered a valid sale. There's a very big discussion in the Paiskim about Sukkos when it comes to the Dalaminim. Can we use Dalaminim? Can we use a Esri that's a Murkav, that's a combination of different fruit in it? So most Paiskim, of course, are of the opinion that an Esrig, which is a Murkav, is possible to be an Esrig. And there are many different reasons why. And the Paiskim that suggest the Shalchus Beis Sha'arim, wants to suggest that the reason it's possible is based on our Gemara. Just like our Gemara says that if you have two owners in a Eved Kanani, so, and each one has different rights, so neither is considered the owner. Says the Beis Sha'arim, if we have an Esrig, which is a combination of an Esrig and a lemon, so there's neither, it's not considered an Esrig because it's neither. The many Paiskim disagree with that approach, because would we say that we have an Esrig that's owned by two partners? So each one of us only has 50% of the Esrig. Would we say that you can't be Yaitzu with such an Esrig? Presumably, you could be Yaitzu with such an Esrig, even though I only have 50%. As long as it's an Esrig, I can be Yaitzu with it. Although, there are Paiskim that suggest that when you have an Esrig that's owned by two people together, each one of them, before they allow the other one to use the Esrig, should sell his share in the Esrig to his partner. By selling his share to the partner in the Esrig, so now the Esrig is completely mine, and we avoid any question. So most Paiskim are of the opinion, of course, as I said, the Al-Sheikh already discusses it and says that we should not use an Esrig and Merkav. And the simplest reason is because Nevda Ba'aveira, that's what the Levush explains, we know that we're not allowed to mix two different fruits together, and therefore an Esrig that's Merkav should not be used. The Shvus Yaakov has a problem with that, because he says, yes, if we have an Esrig that was made a Murkav by a Yisrael who has an Issa Klayim, he's not supposed to use such an Esrig. But there is no Issa Klayim by a Nachri. So if there is no Issa Klayim by a Nachri, why can't such an Esrig be used? So he goes into a discussion that the Issa Klayim may apply to Nachrim as well, which is a very big chiddush. Certainly, we don't pass in that way. The Issa Klayim is only by Yisraelim, not by Nachri. The only halachas that apply to Nachrim are the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And what the Paiskim suggests is that since we see that the Torah disapproves of Klayim, even if it was the Nachri who did it, it's not something that the Torah wants us to use for a mitzvah. So we learned further now, Mishnah. We asked the Gemara, V'loyli ish chazaka b'nechse ishtay, that our husband can never achieve a chazaka in his wife's property. Asked the Gemara, V'amarav, eshes ish, if somebody is trying to achieve a chazaka in her nechse malug, tzrich limchis. She has to be meicha to protect herself, to prevent that chazaka. Ask the Gemara, the man, who is the person that she has to make this mecha? Ilema b'acher, if we're going to say that we're speaking about somebody else who's not a husband, but ask the Gemara, v'amar Rav, hasn't Rav taught us, they machzikim b'nechzei ish ish, because a wife could always say that the reason she didn't make a mecha is because she was relying on her husband. Elalav b'bal, it must be talking about with her husband, because if she won't be meicha, then he will achieve a chazaka. So how do we say that a husband can't have a chazaka b'nechzei ishtei? Answers the Gemara, I'm a rav alayla b'bal. We are speaking about a husband, and there is a situation where a husband can achieve a chazaka in his wife's property. When is that? He got shechafa barbar sichas maris. He dug in the property, and since, of course, if it's regular situation of nechsa malug, his rights are limited to him eating peiris, but not ruining the property. And there, the halacha is, if he did it and she didn't say anything, it's a proof that they belong to him. Because if it still belonged to her, the halacha is, then certainly she should have said something. Ask the Gemara, but how would that be considered a chazaka? When you do damage, that's not the way you achieve a chazaka. Answers the Gemara, Ema, what Rav Nachman means to say is Ein din chazak l'nezakim, that you don't have to have 3 years, as we've been learning from the beginning of the parak, that a chazaka and property, you need to be on the property for 3 years. Teaches us the Gemara that for a chazaka in nezakim, you don't need 3 years. If somebody did damage to a property and the owner didn't say anything, that is the proof that it's still his. Vibay same lavet malah. Another answer that we said regarding what Rav Nachman said, Rav Meri Amir, when is this halacha said? Bekutra, smoke. Rezid Amar Beis Akise. As we explained, that since these are something that are really problematic, so that's why you don't get a chazakah. That's why if somebody didn't say anything, it's a proof that he knows that it doesn't belong to him. Because if the property belonged to him, he would have never allowed this to be there. Rabbi Yosef Meloilim Ba'achar. We go back to the beginning. The situation here is that a husband can be machzik in this ishtay. Here we're speaking about Ba'achar, somebody else. We just learned, Ein machzikin b'nechsei yishish. Says the Gemara, that's only in a case when the husband is alive. And here we're speaking about this person was eating from the property while the husband was alive and then continued afterwards. So since he's on the property for 3 years, so he could say, I bought this property from you after your husband died. You sold me the property, Mahemin, he's going to be believed without me. We began the shir with a concept of Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali, that a husband, a wife, the concept being that a wife does something only because the husband wants her to do it. The Torah, when it speaks about the people who brought the Nedavos for the Mishkan, the Pasuk says, V'yava ha-noshim al-noshim. The wives brought first. And the Sefer Meloya Omer, why was it that way? The first the women contributed and the men contributed. So he says, we learned in our shir that there's a concept of Nachas Ruach Asis Labali, that the wife could say, I only did it to keep my husband happy. So if the wives would have given the donation after the husband, they would say, we gave it only because we wanted to keep our husband happy. But now that they gave it first, so they can't, nobody could say you did it just to keep your husband happy, you were just following your husband's directions, because they were the ones that initiated what should be given. So that's why the Pasuk says that first the women gave and then only the men gave. And actually, the Sefer Likutei Yehuda says that that's pshat also, that we know when it came to Kabbalah Satorah, the Pasuk says, Kaysoim lebeis Yaakov, v'sagad lebnei Yisrael, and everybody knows that the Rashi says, Beis Yaakov means the women, v'sagad lebnei Yisrael means the men. So the question is, why was the Torah given to the women before the men? Beis Yaakov is mentioned before the Bnei Yisrael. So he says that the Shlah says that if the men would have accepted the Torah first, and only after the men accepted the Torah, the women would have accepted the Torah, there would be a claim of Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. I only did this because the women could have said, we only accepted the Torah because our husbands accepted it, and we had to follow their lead. But therefore, the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to the women first. By giving the Torah to the women first, they don't have this claim of Nachas Ruach HaSisi L'Bali, and that's why it had to be given specifically in that order.